Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you, Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, November 21st, 2022, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're going to finish up the chapter more about alcoholism. We're on page 43, paragraph three. And it starts with, once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink, and ends with, his defense must come from a higher power. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Nina R., the 12 traditions, Terry H., reading the text and support today, Reggie O., Lois P., Connie T., greeting newcomers and getting sponsor telephone numbers today. At the last bit of the 10 minutes of the meeting will be Lorraine N. and giving announcements 2 minutes before the top of the hour. So watch for the time will be Betsy H. There's things going on here at a division for you that you want to hear about. So don't miss that check-in time at the announcement portion. The share ID numbers for yesterday's Sunday special edition, which was Attitude of Gratitude, that would be November 20th, 2022, 19658, 19,658. If you didn't get a chance to attend, you might want to listen to it recorded, Attitude of Gratitude. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now like to ask Nina R. from New York to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, this is Nina, anorexic and bulimic from New York, with the 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that power grants ourselves to restore humanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God we understood. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, taught through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to overeaters, compulsive overeaters, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much, Nina R. from New York, for reading the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. I would now like to ask Terry H. from Florida to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Terry.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Melody, for all the service that you do. My name is Terry. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and grateful that this is a portable program. number one of the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry this message to the compulsive overeaters who still suffer. In OA groups, never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprises, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Overeaters Anonymous number 10 has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service this November, and with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Terry H. from Florida. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and, of course, a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And just as that gentle reminder, please only use the star 1 key function for muting purposes. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter more about alcoholism. We're actually concluding that chapter today. And on page 43, paragraph 3 begins with once more. The alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink and ends with his defense must come from a higher power. And I would like to ask Reggie O. to open up the meeting this morning by reading that paragraph and getting us started by explaining her experience with directions in that particular chapter, and then we will open up to the remainder of the fellowship. Good morning, Reggie.
Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, everybody who's on the line today. My name is Reggie O, currently living in Texas, and I am gratefully recovered. Once more, I love you focused on that once more, because that's what the book states over and over again. You know, that's what I have had to get honed in over the 35 years that I have lived in this program, lived in and out of this program, and that is that the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink, except
Reggie,
in a few.
Am I wrong? Did you get a chance to read the paragraph, or did I miss that?
No, I was just starting to read it, Mel. Just then.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you were sharing. My apologies. Excuse my blunder there. Thank you so much. Let me back out.
Yeah, that's okay. No problem. The alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink, except in a few rare cases neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. So that's pretty potent, you know, because we've tried, you know, like I've tried, and the guys we just talked about tried, and all the people in the book that tried, you know, I've tried just about everything there was: fasting, reasoning, self-knowledge, willpower, sufficient reason to stop. I've had plenty of sufficient reasons to stop, tried affirmations, every self-help book there was on the shelf. And, you know, it didn't do it. And if this was but, you know, I have an allergy to certain foods and to certain compulsive eating behaviors, you know, that spark this thing. But if that was the only problem I had, I wouldn't need this program either, because I would just stop eating those foods and I would not engage in those compulsive eating behaviors, you know. But the thing is that I have a mental problem, and that is, or a spiritual problem, you know, however you want to look at it. And that is that no matter how much I know, no matter how much experience I've had, no matter what good reasons I have to stop, I will pick up if I'm not defended by something greater than myself. And that defense, you know, as it says, must come from a higher power. And, you know, we're still in step one, admitted we were powerless over compulsive overeating, that our lives had become unmanageable. And going into step two, it tells us that, but that's what this book is all about, because there is a power greater than me that can restore me to sanity. And later in that chapter in the agnostics, it tells me what it is. It tells me that it lives deep down within me, that higher power lives within me as me. I love that paragraph the first time I read it, but you know what? It's not, so how do you get there? I mean, I'd love to just say, okay, I'm just going to tune into that power greater than myself and I'll have it all done. But that's where the 12 steps come in, you know, and this, we're just at step one right now. I'm powerless over compulsive eating and my life has become unmanageable. And now I'm coming to believe, hopefully, that there's something greater than myself that can restore me. And that is this higher power that lives deep within me, and the steps, all 12 of them, I need to get access to that power to recover and then to stay recovered on a daily basis. Because I can work steps 1 through 10 and get recovered and feel great. But if I'm not living in the steps, all of them, you know, pretty much every day, they'll trip me up again, because there's a channel that I need to clear, that channel deep within myself that connects me to my higher power, this power that lives within me. I'm not going to find it in that horse corral I'm looking at the window out. I've got to go within myself, and I've got to clear up everything, all of the things that have stood in the way my connection and following that higher power in this aspect of my life. And that's, you know, that's steps 1 through 9. And then living in those steps through 10, 11, and 12. And I'm just grateful that there is this answer. So thank you.
Thank you very much for getting us started this morning. Reggie O. from Texas. And although we value your experience, all of you, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well, as we open up the lines this morning to invite you to share on, pardon me, paragraph 3, the last paragraph of this particular page 43, more about alcoholism. We're wrapping that up today. I'd like to get your first name, the first letter of your last name, and perhaps your state. Bonnie
Tom
B.
L.
from Minnesota. Bonnie B.
I'm Tom L. from California.
Tom L. Mm-hmm.
Donna B. Colorado.
Donna B. Colorado. Deborah B.
Kristen. From
okay, gotcha, Kristen.
I did share on the gratitude meeting yesterday, so I don't know if I should not share today.
You're just fine. We don't even count that one. Pardon me.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. So thanks for saying so. That was very good. Okay, let's go with that lineup of 5. If I caught everybody, we got Bonnie B, Tom L, Donna, Deborah, and Kristen. Starting out with Bonnie B, and then followed by Tom. Good morning, Bonnie B.
Good morning, my friend. Hi, everyone. This is Bonnie B. from Minnesota, greatly recovered by the grace of God, and I'm going to start my timer. So appreciate you guys. Once more. Yeah, how many once mores did I have to have? Oh, my goodness. You know, came in thinking, okay, this is it. I got it. I got it because it was just another thing to do. It was another diet program. It was another list of things. And that is not what this is about. You know, in that, in the spiritual appendix at the end of the book, it talks about the educational variety. That was me. That was me. That is me, right? I mean, those aha moments, they happen as I press in. And there are so many things that I did not see. No problem with that. You can't see what you can't see. And did not know. No problem with that either, because you can't know what you don't know. But as I continue to come back and continue to review and continue to go over and continue to choose the only thing, which is connecting to God, not the list, because I was really good at the list, I get to see. I start to see things. And I have those aha moments that I never had before. That, you know, I call it the awakening, right? That thing that it's just like, oh my goodness, that's what that is. So it is not, I don't get that from the list. I came in with the list. I came in with the goal of, give me the list, I'll do the list. This is all I've ever known my entire life. Give me a list, I'll check the list off. Wrong analogy. I have to plug in to the wall socket. I liken this a lot of times to a lamp, and I'll tell my sponsees, if it's dark in a room and you're looking for light, walk over to a lamp and you try to you flip the switch on. If it doesn't go on, you then look at the light bulb, you tighten the light bulb. If it still doesn't work, you go, oh, there's a switch on the wall. And you walk to the wall, flip the switch, still doesn't work. And then you ask someone out of desperation, I can't get the lamp on. And the first question they say is it plugged in? I got great Zoom meetings. I have great fellows in this program. I got a food plan. I got a sponsor. I got all these things, and they're all great, but they will never keep me recovered. I do them for a completely opposite reason. I do them now because I utilize all those tools because my desire is to be to stay fit and recovered so I can be of service to God. It's not to get to a certain pant size. Totally opposite thinking. So once more, until I get to that place where I can fully concede, no list, no matter how good it looks to the rest of the world, will ever fix what's going on inside my body, because this is a DNA thing and a thinking thing. I will never get recovered in this program. But the moment I open the palms of my hands and invite God in to do what only He can do, that's when the fun begins. And so thank you so much for letting me share, and I appreciate you guys so much, and have a blessed day.
Thank you very much for your share this morning. Next up, after Bonnie B, is Tom L. from California, and followed by Donna.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday. It's Tom L., California. I love that analogy of, that chain of things that need to go right for me to recover. I especially like this paragraph because I apologize to the reader today, but it's not step one. This is the amazing interface between step one and two. I've reached that point of desperation. I can't share that with anybody else, what that was like, but I can't do this. I guess I could commit suicide. You know, that there are some people who even that is denied to them. But for me, I could have done that, but it was like, there's nothing else. I'd had experience with 12-step recovery before, but I self was more important, and I put that first, and the light didn't go on, and eating seemed like a really good idea. And then once again, I smashed myself and I got to this point, and I talk about it maybe too much, but I'm an intellectual atheist. I cannot see how, magic is real. It's just, I grew up that way. I don't mean to offend anyone, but this is the disability that I have, is that I can't make sense of a power that loves me and cares about me and thinks and all that great stuff. But this time I need that light to go on. So what did I do? I grabbed on to a sponsor first. I couldn't come back to meetings at first because I was so embarrassed. I called someone I knew. He offered his help. And saint-like, and I have to say it's saint-like, he spent time with me, a lot of time every day for the first few months going through the steps with me. You know, he's a human. You know, I can say, well, maybe he's just special. You know, maybe he's an amazing guy. But that was, certainly he had a power, no doubt. There was a power. There's no God in step one. There's no power in step one. But he gave me the hope of step two, which allowed me to be sober with food. But I don't call him every day right now. I'm taking other people through the steps. They're having, some of them are very religious people. They talk about their God in a way I wish I could. So I began asking myself, okay, I've been wrong about many things. I need a higher power, or I'll get to the point where suicide seems like really good. And I do have a firearm, you know. That's my American right to have a firearm. It's never far away. It's always a choice. But also the choice for a higher power. What's it going to be? What kind of higher power? Is it wrong to go big? That my higher power can be loving, tolerant, forgiving, patient, all-powerful. I'm probably wrong. Intellectually, I can see that's just fairy tale. But if I act and pray that way, and I gotta say, in the last 6 months, life is good. I have defense. At minimum, I have a defense against overeating. And that's time. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Tom. From Tom L. from California. Next up is Donna from Colorado, followed by Deborah G. Hey, Donna B.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. Thank you all for a lovely meeting and a great way to kick off the week. I have shared many, many times that in my time of being entirely abstinent from my alcoholic food ingredients and my alcoholic food behaviors, I continued to have the desire to volume eat occasionally between 8 and 10 p.m. And the intensity of that desire decreased over time, and the frequency of that desire decreased over time, and I witnessed it getting better over time. But every time that I had that desire to volume eat, I would reach out to others. And what I'd like to share today is the miracle that desire to volume eat has been lifted. I mean, I'm kind of in shock that I don't remember or recall the last time I sat down and texted 20, 30 people that I wanted to volume eat as a defense against picking up that first bite. I don't know who my higher power is, and I don't have a definition of a higher power, but I take all the actions. I get on my knees every morning, and I ask God to keep me sober and abstinent. And I go to bed every night, and I thank God for keeping me sober and abstinent. And I pray all throughout the day. I keep a conscious contact with the possibility that there is something listening, caring, seeing, protecting, loving, being there with me. And I just want to encourage to keep doing the work no matter what. I've been entirely abstinent for over 4.5 years, and the miracles keep happening. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna. Donna B. from Colorado. Next up is Deborah G. But I wanted to mention before we invite her in to speak that we're going to be opening up the lines in about 6 minutes for additional comments. And we're on page 43, chapter More About Alcoholism, and we're finishing up this chapter today. We're on paragraph 3, and it begins with once more and ends with his defense must come from a higher power. So if you'd like to share in 6 minutes, get ready. I'd like to take your name and the first initial of your last name. But in the meantime, I'd like to hear from Deborah G., followed by Kristen C. Hi, Deborah.
Oh, hi, Melanie. Oh, thank you so much for your service and your share earlier before the meeting. That was beautiful. I wish I had a recording of that. And it's those kinds of shares that I need to hear to stay connected. Thank you so much. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank everyone for making this meeting possible. And all the newcomers, welcome, welcome. So glad you're here. God, you don't ever have to live like you're living now because of this beautiful program and this beautiful connection with that power. And I never got that. For years and years and years, I tried controlling this thing and figuring it out, trying to figure it out in my head what I can do to keep this thing going. And it wasn't, and Melanie was part of it, that with the share, all of you were part of it with the share that got me to a place of putting down that last alcoholic food, getting myself a vision sponsor and having her take me through the steps quickly so I could get connected with that power, connected with that divine loving presence that I have in my life today. And she would share that, you know, my sponsor, my minister, you know, no one can, you know, keep me abstinent. It has to come from that power. I do need to do the footwork of, like was said, doing the meetings. I hear how I can stay connected. Working with a new person, working with a sponsee, you know, getting back to the, you know, keeping alert, awake, and aware that I need to stay connected. She would continue to say, stay connected, you know, in any way that I can. I love my prayer. I love my meditation. You know, thinking throughout the day, there's just so many beautiful things that I can do in this program, these beautiful 12 steps. And all of you, your beautiful words to help me stay connected, because I can get off the beam with my thinking again. But I need to stay in the middle of the herd with all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona, for your share. Just another reminder, we are studying today, our course of study today is paragraph 3, page 43, more about alcoholism. We're finishing up that very, very vital chapter this morning. You want to get involved in that. I'm going to open up it for other people to share in just a moment, well, 3 minutes. But for now, we're going to listen to Kristen C. from New Mexico.
Thank you so much, madam. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your service, and I really appreciate the shares I've heard. I'm still newer to this meeting, and I have received lovely outreach calls. One of these, I'm going to return these calls. That's going to be my commitment for today. But I love this paragraph. It just, for me, it just gives me hope. I mean, the paragraph above was really powerful too. Just in that, the doctor was recognizing that people like me are too heartbreaking, and so the only thing that can help me is a power greater than myself. And honestly, I've been in OA for a few decades, and so I feel like at this point in my life I'm getting a little lazy about the program, which is why I'm shaking it up and attending this meeting and wanting to get more involved in this style of working program, because I do feel like I'm starting to rest on my laurels, and I know I can't do that because I'm sick. It doesn't matter how long I'm in program, I still have this disorder. And so I love that this paragraph reminds me very clearly, my only defense is God. And I do forget that. That's part of my diseased thinking, is I will forget that. And I will slip back into the old behaviors, the old patterns, the old foods that don't serve me well and that make me crazy, that keep me grounded in insanity instead of sanity. And so I just needed to say that out loud, that my only defense comes from a higher power. And I feel like I need to delve deeper into that, like I'm sort of stagnant in my relationship with God right now. And so that's what I would like to work on. Thanks for letting me share and listening.
Thank you very much. Kristen C. for your share this morning from New Mexico. Now the lines are open for additional comments. Page 43, paragraph 3 today, y'all. While we finish up this particular chapter, I'd like to take your first name, first letter of your last name, and perhaps your state.
Melanie M. California.
Linda Somebody M. from California. Somebody M.
Sherry
O.
M.
New York. Sherry Linda. M. And somebody from New York.
Jen O. from New York.
Jen O. Got it. Thanks so much. Okay.
Linda W. Las Vegas.
I got Linda W., but somebody else from before you, Linda.
Linnea B., Minnesota.
Linnea. Gotcha. That's what I was looking for. Sometimes the lines are kind of breaking up today.
Did you get Melanie M.?
Melanie M. I do now.
That
Thank
was
you.
The California one. Thank you.
Jordan, now. Let's stop. Okay, Jordan, let's see if we can get you too, okay? I'll see if we can kind of move you in there as well. But looking at the time, that's probably going to be close to all that we can take today. Okay, so here we go. Looking at Sherry M., Jen O., Linnea, Linda, Melanie, and Jordan. Let's start out with Sherry. Good morning, Sherry. Your 3 minutes begins now.
Good morning. Hi, this is Sherry. I'm gratefully recovered today in Wyoming, but I'm in California now. Thank you so much, Melanie, for your service, and what a great paragraph and great kickoff to the meeting. And I was thinking, I don't know if anyone else has this experience, but before I found a vision for you, which has saved my life, I had a lot of different ideas about what was going to help this disease. One of them was, you know, do 90 meetings in 90 days. Take a commitment at every meeting. Just don't eat and go to meetings. All of these things were well-intentioned, but they didn't solve the problem, and the problem is me. And the problem was that I wasn't entirely abstinent, and I hadn't worked the steps. And so I couldn't have this higher power help me. I had the cart before the horse. I wanted to keep doing the steps over and over and over and over and over, but not letting God into my heart. God could not come into my heart until I dropped the food. God was waiting patiently in the corner like a gentleman, waiting for me just to give up everything entirely. And that's when God came in and rescued me from this seemingly hopeless disease. And God, you know, calling a sponsor, having the best sponsors with 30, 40 years and calling 100 people a day, nothing ultimately is going to save me. And God can, unless it's my higher power, and God can only save me when I keep doing the steps and getting rid of self. So if I'm blocked to the only solution that I have, which is higher power, then I won't be able to get the solution. So I have to continually, every day, 1 to 12, get rid of self, get rid of Sherry, bring more God in. Where's my trust and reliance today? If it's not on God, then it's going to be on self, and then self will bring you back to the food. So I'm just so grateful that for today, you know, the mental obsession is not there. I've been at the same weight now for 3 years since I found vision for you. And I really just am focused on trying to enlarge my spiritual life. My life has been transformed from the inside out as a result of letting God do that. And so I'm so grateful. And if you're struggling today or the holidays, just know that we all just have one day at a time, daily reprieve, contingent on our spiritual maintenance. Thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Sherry M. from Wyoming, otherwise in California now, I understand. Next up is Jen O. from New York, followed by Linnea B. from Minnesota. Hey, Jen.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jen O., compulsive overeater. Thank you for reading this passage. I'm feeling my higher power pushing me to connect more. Been a program. It'll be, God willing, 8 years in January, and my higher power is lifted about 110 pounds. I know my higher power is there, and I love my higher power, but I forget to remember. So the past couple of months, I've been struggling, you know, doing my daily practice, thinking I've got this, playing with yellow foods. I recently put them on my red list. And, you know, like when I, when when I do my morning practice, I feel connected. I feel that I can handle the day. I feel loved and peaceful. And my higher power constantly reminds me that he's there for me. Like, I have this thing where I see feathers everywhere, everywhere I go. And it's the weirdest thing. And I know it's not a coincidence. And I know it's my higher power sending me little messages that I'm here. You need to come to me. You need to ask. You need to surrender. And when I for me, I have to sit still with my feelings. My feelings are in my solar plexus, and that mimics hunger too, always. That's what it was. I thought I was hungry all the time, and that was the God-sized hole. So when I sit with painful or uncomfortable feelings, there's a grace on the other side, and I feel that peace, and then I'm unblocked and open. And, you know, I'm struggling, though. I feel like I'm isolating and not wanting to go on as many meetings. You know, definitely, you know, getting complacent. And I'm at a plateau, definitely having, like, critical body image thoughts, you know. And I know what food neutrality is. I had that. I had connection. I'm chasing the pink cloud, but I worked for it. You know, when I had that, I worked for it. Every day, I didn't miss a day. I worked my butt off, you know, worked my program like my hair was on fire. So thank you for the reminder, getting me on this meeting, sharing, hearing what I need to hear. And
now be time.
Okay. Knowing I'm not alone. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jen O. from New York. Next up for sharing is Linnea B. from Minnesota, followed by Linda W. from Las Vegas. Hey, Linnea.
Good morning, Melanie. Hello, everyone. My name is Linnea, and I am a compulsive overeater. Thank you so much, Reggie, for getting us started and all the shares. This is such a profound paragraph, like all of them. I want to share that it says, you know, his defense must come from a higher power. You know, and when I think of defense, I think of a shield, you know. I'm holding a shield from the attack of this illness, the thoughts that come to me that tell me food will be my solution. And it isn't, you know. It is not. It will rip me to shreds and has heretofore. So yesterday, I had a trauma response to a situation that has heretofore sent me right into the food over and over and over and over and over. And I relate the behavior that I did that created trouble for another, ultimately back to being a compulsive overeater and using food. And it's just amazing because I thought, well, I'm going to just, you know, screw it. I'm just going to go eat. And I didn't. I prayed to God, you know, and said, God, please help me. And then came the thought, well, you know, you could call your sponsor or you could call, you know, make an outreach call. But I didn't do either of those. I was just emotionally, you know, the thought of being around another human being was, didn't feel safe emotionally, you know, this isn't rational, but regardless, it was what was happening for me at that moment. However, a higher power I could be with and a higher power I could turn to, you know, and I did not compulsively overeat and sanity returned. My thinking straightened out. I mean, just miraculous, you know, really, you know, and so here they start the paragraph. He starts the paragraph. once more. And I so appreciate that this whole book is saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over. Thank you. Over and over and over again, mm-hmm. just with different words. I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Linnea B. from Minnesota. Next up is Linda W. from Las Vegas, followed by Melanie from California.
Hi, this is Linda W. from Las Vegas. This one little paragraph just hit me right between the eyes. Everything everybody has said, I so relate to. I haven't been living in the 12 steps. I've been doing the 12 steps that I've been living. And I do make lists, and then I disregard the lists. So, I mean, it's praying. It's praying and keeping a conscious contact with God. That it's like this whole visions today has been such an eye-opener, even though I've known the answers, but it's hit me right between the eyes. I've had a hard time. I've struggled with not being absent for many years already, and it's just, I'm tired. I give. Dear God, I'm yours. But this paragraph really hit me between the eyes. And I want to thank all of you. I have a lot of gratitude for all of you. Thank you so much. I don't have much to share other than what I just shared, but I want to thank you all for being there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Linda W. from Las Vegas, Nevada. Next up is Melanie from California. If you give me the first initial of your last name, I would like that too, and then it will be followed by Jordan L.
Melanie H. in California.
H. Thank you so much. It's your turn.
All right. Thanks so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those words are just those. I think of before I came to program, I too was a list maker, and I would get sucked into kind of what I think of as like for non-compulsive overeaters, it may work, but for compulsive overeaters, it's seen of kind of like a gimmicky, all these apps and things that on your phone that you can track this or do that, and I would just get so sucked into looking for something that I could just do once that would work, and it would solve my problem. But the focus was always on the weight and not what was creating it. And coming into program really just opened my eyes, because I definitely came for the vanity and stayed for the sanity. Coming into program, I was able to get that gift of getting to the root of what was causing me to reach for food. And instead of reaching for food, I can now reach for service or reach for being part of a fellowship. And just so grateful to be here and now have a life solution rather than a single shot at something, some app or whatever that may work for me. So thank you everyone for being here. My name is, thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Melanie H. from California. Next up is Jordan L. from Colorado. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, Mel. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, where it is 1 degree this morning. but I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. I'm like really grateful for that. Like, I really mean that when I say that. and I guess like I mention that because that's not really what I was like looking for necessarily when I showed up here, you know? And when I look back at my food history, I actually didn't try all that much. Like, I hear other people's stories, and they talk a lot about dieting and all kinds of things. I really didn't try, like, that much variety. Like I really put all efforts into willpower. Like I was gonna figure this out with willpower, and intellectual capacity. You know, this was something that I was gonna like figure out with my problem solving skills. This was something that I was gonna will myself into being abstinent and losing weight and following a food plan and all of that. So so when we talk about no effective mental defense, and really, like really what we're talking about here is being beyond human aid. It's almost like step 1.5. nor any other human being can provide such a defense. I get that, you know? My willpower can't do it, your willpower can't do it either. even the smartest people in the world, their willpower can't really do it either. Like, it's not like the medical profession can say, we got this figured out. Even the most spiritual people in the world, you know, like religion can't really say, we got this figured out, you know? We're really, really beyond human aid.
That would be tough.
So I start to understand what that means, the kind of defense that I'm going to need from this higher power and this fellowship, too. This fellowship is part of that defense. The higher power doesn't work without the fellowship, in my experience. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you very much, Jordan L. Looks like time would allow for another 90-second share if somebody is interested
Irene?
In that. Hi,
yes.
Irene. It's yours. Let's go.
Okay, so I'm Irene. I'm a recovered bulimic by God's love, grace, and mercy, one day at a time. You know, I don't have a mental defense when I am feeling, when my thoughts take over and I become reactive and my need for love and validation are hurt and I don't know what to do. And for me, my only defense against any of my compulsions would be to use the tools or to go to my higher power. I forget about higher power, but I've discovered two-way prayer and that works beautifully for me. But in the moments when I'm really triggered, I need to go to the tools. And to me, what has worked in the past is the phone. And that happened to me this morning. So right now, I just wanted to share in my victory that I went from desperation to getting back on the tracks. And after connecting with a fellow and seeing how my thinking has, you know, I'm believing all the lies and I'm not seeing the truth. And
that would be time.
And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be with you. God bless you all. Happy Thanksgiving week. And I pass.
Thank you very much. Irene B. from Louisiana. That ends the we're ending now the recorded portion of the meeting as we transition to the last 10 minutes of our meeting that's unrecorded. So don't go anywhere. Sit tight in your chair there. But thanks again, Irene B. What I'd like to offer now is to have Lois P. please read from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we'll close out that bit and then transition over by saying the Serenity Prayer together, if you'd like to join in. Also, I want to let you know before I invite Lois to come on is that I want to give you the share ID number for the 7 a.m. meeting this morning if you'd care to enjoy that particular study as well. And that share ID number is 19659, 19,659 for Monday the 21st. Thank you so much. Good morning, Lois. Appreciate for that extra moment you gave me.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come. if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.